Skibbity beebity deebity babbity ba 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 ba. Full Irish breakfast. Time for Geekcast Live.
It's a trap. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to that sports ball analogy there. 483 of the Geekcast Live podcast. I'm your host, Rob Bass, and with me, as always,
Dodgeball Photography All Stars
and Cartoon Joe.
And Ryan is currently being taught how to ride bears, I think. Somewhere?
No, he's he's bareback riding.
Oh, I definitely misunderstood that text. Correct. The series of photos that came after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're gonna want to scrub those from your hard drive and/or phone.
Well, not working on that now. How are you guys doing today, tonight, this evening? I guess
struggling through. Here, I'm glad to be talking to you guys.
Hell yeah! I'm suffering right there with you. I guess. In light of our suffering, is there anything that's been making you guys smile this week?
Is that what we're calling this? Are we calling this?
I don't give a shit what we call it. What's your bright space?
Very good. Bright space. I work in dark matter. So my bright space is being mad at my middle-aged daughter. She's not middle-aged. She's the middle of three. That got weird.
Yep. Go on.
love her dearly, sweetheart that she is. But I'm very upset because the other night we were, as a family, like looking for something to watch, and we were scrolling through Netflix, and Lindsay, my lovely wife, is like, "Oh, that's that girl from Stranger Things. What about we watch this Damsel movie?" And right away, my daughter's like, "Yeah, I watched it." And she's like, "It's really good." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. Well, press play." Apparently, she's like learned how to punk people.
Yeah, she got you good. Really
terrible taste. Because that one is that's a steaming pile of we had to clear some budget off our books for Netflix. Otherwise, we're going to pay taxes on it or something. Or we, you know, that was a budget line.
Is this the one?
I'm sure that it's fine for a different audience.
No. No, it's not, Rob. You're incorrect. It's fine for no one.
This isn't the one that's based off the book that she had ghostwritten, is it?
Maybe.
Well, I don't know. Is it, I can't imagine there's a book that plays with this. It's a canned pretense to have a CGI dragon. Instead of a real CGI dragon, it's like
it's a fake CGI dragon.
It's like a reuse of Dragonheart.
No, it's like we think that one from Game of Thrones is pretty cool, but we can't afford their tech division. Mm-hmm. And we know people like
Harry Potter. Is it like the Jaegers from Atlantic Rim?
Oh boy, you're in the right ballpark, but it's a real dog shit piece of cinema.
I take umbrance with the fact that on its Wikipedia page, it is classified as dark fantasy.
It makes your mood. It makes you feel dark.
I will say, if there is one thing that I can give to that movie, I thought that picking President Officer Allah from fucking The Expanse as the dragon's voice. I really like that.
Just keep throwing words at me. That wasn't just an AI voice?
No, that was Shora. God, I'm going to fuck up pronouncing this.
You are on fire right now.
Agdashlu.
Agdashlu?
Yeah. Here, let me go ahead.
She's 71?
Yeah.
If this is not a recent picture, she looks great for 71.
Yeah, she is just fucking terrific. Well,
dragons age very slowly, Joe.
That is true.
That's true.
But no, if you haven't watched The Expanse, Nick, you should fix that probably pretty promptly.
Okay. I don't know if I'll be able to trust again anytime soon.
I mean,
after.
Okay. I've got some thoughts, but before I guess we get to that, Joe, what about you?
Ooh. Oh man. What was my answer? Oh, I'm hoping my mom doesn't listen to the show. No. Close. No.
It's assured. I'm not supposed to listen to the show.
What's that?
It's assured that your mom
doesn't. Oh yeah, no, I'm pretty sure you're right, because she says things like, "You're still doing that," and I'm like, "Yeah." Anyway, I got a call from my little brother, Michael, a couple of days ago, about a week ago, maybe. And he wanted to see if I wanted to join him and his future wife and their child at the Brookfield Zoo tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Excellent.
Yeah. So I get to go see my niece tomorrow, which is the important thing. I love my brother, but I'm much more excited to see my niece.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great day.
Yeah. She'll be two this year. So it should theoretically be a pretty short trip. Because I'm not sure that she can handle a 3-hour drive up, followed by, more than 2 hours at the zoo, followed by a 3-hour drive back.
Yeah,
but it'll be a good time. I'm really looking forward to it. And some of my earliest memories are going to the Brookfield Zoo with my folks, not my parents, but like my grandparents and stuff. So
sure,
love the Brookfield Zoo.
Really looking forward to it. So yeah, me too. I did not go to it enough when I lived nearby. Yeah. We're almost making use of it this week.
My brother actually has been plotting with my wife here for some sort of trip down to Tennessee, because that's where one of my brothers lives. And it sounds like I'm going to be going to my very first Renaissance fair this year. And I'm pretty fucking
excited. How have you not been to a Renaissance fair?
I don't know how I haven't been to a Renaissance fair, but I could not be more jacked. I am so excited.
Awesome.
Yeah, they were like, should we dress up? And as soon as I found out about this, I was, of course, there's not even a question. So
you're going to be a Renaissance hero.
I'm going to be a legend. I was born for this.
Are you going to dress as a Star Trek engineer? Or
yeah, red shirt, 100%. Nice. I'm going to go in as a Jedi Knight. This is going to be perfect.
You're not going to bring out Boris Gladivanovich.
Oh my god, that would be particularly fun. See how long it takes for us to get thrown out.
Is that like the name of your sword, Boris Gladivanovich?
Yeah, yeah.
It's his Russian dark alias that he was going to pull out for the fair.
Ego. Yeah, I love that.
Oh, dark ego.
You'll be rogue.
I did not hear the go, and so I was like, I don't think you can say that anymore. It's not the 1800s.
Yeah, that is true.
The go is key.
Yeah,
I would agree. Very, very important.
But so I'm pretty stoked. I think that it's going to be a great time. And this has been 30 years plus in the making. So I'm fucking ready for it.
That's That'll awesome.
Fun.
Yeah. So, Nick, I've got a question for you, because you said that you started a show here lately, and I want to know your elevator pitch on it. What are your cursory thoughts and like sell me on the Three Body Problem Netflix series?
Well, I guess I'm happier that I probably didn't read the book, because one, I didn't know it was a book, and two,
books are fucking great.
Well, see, book to TV always leaves me wanting, but I might be able to go from TV to book and be able to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, we dove in again, not knowing that it was based on on a novel. And there wasn't anything that particularly drew us to it other than the trailer just like kind of looked cool. And my wife and I have a policy of like, all right, we'll watch the pilot. We do that with a bunch of shows and basically decide off of like the first 30 minutes if it's worth, it's worth sticking with.
Sure.
And if you know anything about the show, I don't know if the book starts this way, but it starts with a fairly memorable scene, I guess somewhat notorious now for reasons.
Sure.
I didn't think it was that.
I assume it's the one that takes place like during the Communist Revolution.
Yeah, it's an old Maoist China. Yeah. I guess it's just because I from what I understand, there hasn't been like a really film, what's the word I'm looking for? Words escape me. Reenactment of that particular type of event in cinema, which is surprising to me. Sure. Like with native actors and whatnot.
It does start off the same way in the book too.
That makes more sense now, having watched it, the symbolism of that. I mean, it wasn't like, it definitely is eye-catching and like, oh, it's not, I didn't think it was like anything that risque. I mean, other than the violence. Anyhow, so it the opening scene is very, you know, pulls you in, and it does very much make you want to see what the next scene brings, and so on and so on. If you're not generally familiar with it, it's a, I guess you'd call it sci-fi fantasy, set in a, you know, contemporary, more or less contemporary setting. Don't really want to give anything away, but I guess it's a TV show, so you watch it at your leisure. I like the casting for the most part. You know, fairly young cast, not a lot of known entities, a couple that you would recognize. It's just neat. Like, I guess that's the stupid qualifier for it. Like, I alluded to the show Lost, that was the first thing that came to mind from watching it. I don't know that it'll be that good, but it's that type of, it's that type of hook where it's, you know, quote unquote, like regular people kind of drawn to some sort of like numbers based mystery that may or may not have, you know, out of this worldish elements to it. And it's just cool. I don't know. I guess I'm not selling it very well, but you kind of have to watch it and know if it pulls you in. It's rough. It's violent. It's dark, but some of the actors are fantastic. The guy that plays the Onion Knight,
intrigued me.
Liam Cunningham, I think is his name. I really like him in general, and he plays a cool character. Wong from the Marvel world he's a really good actor, but it's a really weird casting. He looks very weird in his wig as a English cop, but you know, he's giving it. But weird. I guess that's the overriding theme is it demands another episode each time so far, and that hasn't taken its foot off the pedal. So I guess that's my best testament is that it's different.
Every episode buys a new one.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just different enough, you know, from the traditional genres, I guess, of fantasy that we talk about on the show, whether it's high fantasy or, you know, this is not, it's sort of a little bit fantasy-ish, a little bit of sci-fi, but not too much of either. And it's just neat. It makes you ask questions. Nice. like actual, it's based around, I guess, the concept of physics is one of the major themes, like actual physics.
Yeah.
And so there's things about it that make, you know, you're asking yourself a lot of questions as you go. So for you guys, this show's audience, I would recommend watching episode one, and then you'll probably know after episode one or two if it's drawing you in, if it's for you or not. So we're gonna probably see it through and then maybe even read the book. Rob, you've read the book, so
giving it a go. I really enjoyed the books, from what I understand.
How many books in the series?
There are,
I gotta assume it's a series.
It is a series. There are three books in the like the main series, and then there was like official like fan book that was like a fourth book, a conclusion, or like an epilogue more so. It was like signed off by the actual author, Shishin Liu. And
wait, somebody else wrote it? Is it a Chinese author?
It is a Chinese author. Yeah.
Chinese American?
Yeah. No, Chinese. And
that makes so much more sense.
Yeah, no, it is super fascinating. Like one of the hangups that I've noticed from most people whenever I try to introduce them to the series is as it is written by a Chinese author, there are a lot of Chinese and Asian names for characters. And for some reason, people who read Tolkien have a harder time sticking with a story with a bunch of Asian names than, you know, just really fantasy names. But it is it's really good. So the stories all kind of are spread out. I think that they're doing some from what I understand, like the synopses that I've read and stuff for the Netflix version of the show. They're kind of interweaving some of the parts that would be taking place like contemporaneously, which makes sense. But the story goes out like from where we're at right now, millions and millions and millions of years. So I'm really intrigued to see how it like extrapolates out and tries to follow that. It'll be really fascinating, I think.
You know, I didn't even look. I should have. Have they already greenlit more seasons beyond?
It's a good question. I'm not sure right now. I can't imagine that they wouldn't get another season because it seems like it's being pretty well received. Polygon's putting out some stuff, but you know, take that with a grain of salt. I mean. That probably working on a season two. I wouldn't be surprised. And then I also know that there is another version of the Three Body Problem that's being put out right now as well by Tencent, which is a Chinese media company. So I'd be very interested to like watch them side by side and like kind of compare and contrast them to see where they like where they're similar, where they're different, and how like they compare to the story itself.
You mentioned something about people sort of balking at the names of characters. That was one thing that was a little bit hard to. It was a challenge to getting into the first couple episodes. Is that a great amount of the dialogue is in Mandarin.
Yeah.
Subtitled, but I mean a lot of it.
Yeah.
So if you don't like subtitles or don't, that's a challenge. I mean, it does level out after like episode two, but as we're setting the backstory, because a lot of it is taking place in China.
Revolutionary China.
Yeah, they definitely seem to be trying to be very authentic in their cinematography and their casting. So
that feels like good because I mean,
it does. It seems like it's pretty. That might be part of its appeal. Is it with its cultural themes? It seems to be trying to play it straight.
Intriguing. So
I'd love to get Joe and Ryan to see like at least the first episode or two.
Yeah, I would love to get
a comeback conversation.
Yeah, I would love to. I'll give it a watch. I would love to do like an episode proper here where we go through and do a deep dive on it because it sounds like the show is pretty solid at the very least, and I quite enjoyed the books. I'm really excited for the part where they send only a brain, and you'll understand that eventually. It's fascinating. I'm super excited.
I strangely enough, I can sort of guesstimate what that would mean contextually, which means I must be pretty deep into it. Well, there is some stuff that is just out of context, is like straight nonsense.
Oh my God. I would love to go. I would love to like go through our group chat and screenshot some of the text that I was sending you guys whenever I was reading the books like the first time through, and then just like see what your thought, like cursory thoughts on my like babbling nonsense would be with you having a modicum of context now.
Oh, yes, that's intriguing. That would be fun.
That would be, yeah, we might have to make an exercise of that because I think that would be very fun.
Yeah, because I remember you talking about it, but I don't remember what you said.
I'm sure even if you did, it was like just absolutely heinous nonsense. Like there's like some of the shit that happens in this story. I might as well have just be like ad-libbing words together. And that's basically it. But it's pretty fantastic.
Nice.
Well, hell yeah.
Oh, great. I'm sold. I'm going to try one episode.
You should.
Yeah, it remains to be seen if I'll try it tonight or tomorrow night or after Easter, because those are the options.
So I guess
you've got 6 days to do it. So
I suppose seal this off. Is there one scene or anything particularly sci-fi or strange in there that you would say stands out for you, Nick? Don't necessarily have to give too much context or anything around that, but is there anything that any particular scene in the series so far that stands out the most in your head?
Well, you might be teeing me up for this, but the container ship Lego blocks definitely was whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
Both for the science and the ick factor, because it's rough to watch. That's as far as I'll go with that. Spoiler alerts.
Yeah.
But beyond that, probably it's the VR headset.
Mm-hmm.
Sets and then obviously that
getting into the game,
that game, and just it's kind of the way you even neuro load into it. I don't know. It's that concept is cool because it's creative. It's different. The fact that through that you begin to sort of deduce the three body problem isn't just a butchering of English syntax,
Sure. You can blame Newton.
Is
for that.
A cool name because it's weird. It's a weird name, so that gets you a look like, oh, what's this show about with a weird name? And now knowing that it was written by someone whose native language was Mandarin, it makes a little more sense.
Also, are you familiar with the three body problem? Because that's not actually just like a funny mistranslation thing.
It's not. Oh, I know what it is now from the show, the show context.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually like a concept.
Is that a physics Newton thing? Is it called that?
Yeah, it's called the three-body problem. It's trying to understand what would be the physics be like if there were three solar bodies.
Competing gravitational fields and rotations and all that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, once they
realized that was a Newtonian thing.
Yep. Yeah, so
in physics they talk about a three-body problem because everything in physics is always reduced as simply as possible to make the math easy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just very like almost impossibly difficult to calculate things with a third variable.
Mm-hmm.
You need to reduce it to two as often as possible.
Because that third thing just starts causing exponential problems, regardless of what you're measuring or doing. And so that it's extrapolating out of that, like specifically. And if we haven't gotten there yet in the show, it will probably not take terribly long before it starts illuminating more on that. But
precisely.
But it's pretty cool. It is pretty chewy and heady, and it does play around with a lot of concepts involving physics. I think I might be incorrect on this, but I'm pretty sure that Shishun Liu is even a physicist, which wouldn't surprise me even a little bit. Yeah, he's a computer engineer.
There you go.
Yeah. It's very fascinating. It plays around with a lot of concepts with physics. It uses them like
It uses them in very like hard sci-fi like manners at times, and then it extrapolates into some real fucking crazy theoretical physics stuff. And I really enjoy that, like both the like the pragmatic use of it and then like extrapolating out into the like just real weird shit. It's good stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. So all of that. That's kind of my little foray into something. I don't know if we have a pivot off that. Anybody else in the checked out anything new that's worth chatting about? New show, new book, new film. And we're kind of we've got our whole sidebar of Dune going on. But other than that, it's a little bit quiet, you know, on the overall new entertainment front.
I feel like
I've been revisiting a lot of old stuff.
What's that?
Because I feel like I've been revisiting a lot of old stuff.
Yeah.
You're like I've been making my
Aren't
way.
Aren't you guys checking out the X-Men 97 or something? Aren't you guys doing that?
Oh, yeah. I was making my way through the old original 90s stuff first. And I don't know what has what immediately pops to mind is what Cory Doctorow has termed enshittification. I don't know what it is with all my streaming apps. They let me watch one or two episodes of things, and then the autoplay shits the bed, and then the app refuses to load any more episodes after the autoplay stops working.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, so I can watch like one episode a day of X-Men, or just completely give up on the Disney Plus app altogether.
Both sound tempting.
Yeah, I've been mostly not watching anything on Disney Plus because of it.
That's brutal.
Yeah, kind of bums me out because I was enjoying X-Men. It is such a silly show. In retrospect, it holds up in a lot of ways, but in a lot of other ways, it's like, boy, Southerners are kind of weird, huh?
Gambit.
Yeah. Well, no, because like
everybody around him.
Rogue, for some reason, is also Southern. And she says a lot of things like, you seem more nervous than a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Which I don't get me wrong. I love a nonsense folksy saying. I just don't know that I need one per episode.
No, you do. That was the quota, and God willing, they're still sticking to that in the new ones.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I need either none or 15. You know what I mean? Like, give me one a minute for all 21 minutes of the show.
That sounds intense. Fair enough.
Brutal. I love, I don't know. I'm an extremes person. I'm not a fan of the middle road.
What has been the best part of revisiting the old 90s X-Men? Any particular scenes, characters?
That's a great question.
Stands out
I feel like I haven't made it far enough into the show to be able to like really be able to compare. Because by the time I was watching it, I really understood what was happening, I feel like it was a lot of reruns of the best episodes.
Sure.
The syndication stuff. And so, I'm enjoying the animation style. I think it's cool that they let that happen. But I also feel like there's not a lot of nostalgia for me yet. Maybe Wolverine. I feel like Wolverine's characterization is just so perfect. And, having really come to experience Wolverine through Hugh Jackman's performances. The realization that he's just playing the cartoon Wolverine from the animated X-Men is like, I don't know. It's very satisfying. But otherwise, yeah, I don't feel like I have a lot to say about it. It's just, you know, it's fine. It definitely feels like they didn't know what they were doing and weren't sure what they wanted to do. And so they were just like, let's try everything. And so there's this, what I noticed is the quality of the dialogue in terms of like the words that are given ranges from some of the best one line bangers I have ever heard in an animated project to boy, you just needed to fill some air with that line there, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. And then you combine it with like, I don't know if they were trying to give their characters a like particular characterizations or if they just like showed the voice actors a picture of like Storm and then the person just came up with the voice off of that. I really don't know if they were fans of the characters, the voice actors. But there is such a wide variety in how the performances are given as well. Like some people, they're just walking in and using their regular voice. And then other people are like performing for a stage and an audience, even though they're in a sound booth. And it's incredible. It is the most inconsistent thing I've ever heard. But not badly. Not badly so, right?
Sure.
It's strange.
Do either of you have a favorite X-Men or mutant, I suppose, while we're on this subject?
Nick,
do you have anybody? I don't. I like the X-Men series.
Follow your heart.
Point for me.
Who's the first Beast. One you would say? Beast?
Ooh.
It's not Beast a bad one. Night, Beast night, is a Nightcrawler. Really good pick.
Nightcrawler's Beast my guy.
Nightcrawler. I'll go Beast. Big Kelsey Grammer fan.
Yeah, I'm loving Beast in the animated series. He does a lot of just reciting poetry.
Yeah, that'll play. I'll roll with that.
Beast and Gambit were always very high up there for me, especially.
I know you're a Gambit guy, so I didn't want to steal that.
I'm a huge
Joe's Gambit. Always the mystery person here. He likes
to wild card.
Rando.
I wasn't sure if he was going to go with like the Blob or Toad. Nightcrawler.
Ugh, Toad.
I can see him being a Toad guy.
Who's I can't remember her name all of a sudden. Big Bertha really amuses me. I don't know if she's in the animated series at all, but I love the fact that she was a supermodel. But she can control her size. Not like she can't like go Ant-Man, Giant Man. Mm-hmm. But she can be like real fat lady, real hot skinny supermodel.
Weird.
It's very weird. I'd love it. They were just like, I don't know.
They really let's did just do start something. Giving mutants like any superpower, which was like fun and also real weird.
There's one mutant. Let me look up his name real fast. Yes. Bailey Hoskins. He has probably the worst power. Well, maybe it's not the worst ever, but it's one of the worst powers in all of the X-Men universe. He can self-detonate once. Because he doesn't have the ability to heal or put himself back together.
That is pretty fun.
That's great.
She's not an objectively horrible power. Right.
Oh, that's great.
Rob, what are you geeking on this week? Let's finish positively here.
Are we talking to me?
I was. You're usually Rob. You don't have to.
Oh, sorry. We're
free spirited here.
Interchangeable. So I have recently started playing Dragon's Dogma 2, which is a fantasy role playing game, and it's pretty fantastic. It brings me back to my like first experience and foray with like. Skyrim. I think that means absolutely nothing for you, Nick, but Joe, I think we were living together whenever Skyrim first came out, and it's a world that you can just get like lost and engrossed in,
and there's a bunch of moving pieces, characters. You can, like, there's just a huge world that you get to go and explore and kind of do it at your own pace, at your own direction, any which way that you want. It's been a blast so far. There are lots of giant monster fights. There are tons of puzzles. There are all sorts of consequences for your actions if you end up spending too much time venturing around in the countryside instead of going and saving that kid that you said you were going to go save a while ago. That's happened to me twice now. It's a pretty fantastic game. I think my favorite part about it is I just the other day stumbled into this elven village that's like hidden away in this forest, and like I just like accidentally found myself like, oh shit, look, there are buildings in these trees, and then like, oh, there are people here. I walk into this place, I see all of these elves, I go up and I talk to one, and they start talking in Elvish, and I don't fucking understand Elvish, and all of the subtitles and the text on the screen is in Elvish, so I can't fucking read anything, can't understand anything. I fumble my way through this place to find like an inn there and like bumble enough to be able to buy a room for the night. I go to the innkeeper, or I go to the, like the shopkeeps here, and like want to buy some shit from them, but like all of the text for the items that I want to buy are also in Elvish. So I'm just fucking lost in this place. I finally got a translator, and that's helped me out quite a bit. But it's been a wild ride of a game.
We all need one.
Yeah. Good shit. Joe, what about you? What are you geeking on?
I didn't want to bring it up during the previous questioning because it's my what I'm geeking on. I came home really late last Friday night because I was working on my sermon at the church really late. And Maddie was about halfway through a series on Netflix called Delicious in Dungeon or Dungeon Meshi on Netflix. I didn't want to just like go to bed without hanging out with my wife at all. And so I watched a couple of episodes with her and I was like, this is a weird show. A weird damn show.
Wrong start.
It's an anime about an adventuring party, mm-hmm. I guess you'd say in like a role-playing game setting. Fantasy, of course. And they are they all like it was very nearly a total party kill facing a red dragon near the bottom of the dungeon, and they got teleported out without all their stuff, and so they're trying to make it back to the red dragon so they can kill it and get their cleric back from the stomach of the dragon before their cleric is digested
back from the
and
stomach.
And they have no money. Wait. They have no resources. And so they decide that they're going to basically figure out how to eat the monsters in the dungeon as they go to rescue this person so that they can save money on their supplies. And they end up meeting a dwarf who lives in the dungeon, and cooking monsters is his jam. It's his favorite thing in the world, and he's just thrilled to death that there's an adventuring party that wants to learn from him, and shenanigans ensue. By the point I jumped in with Maddie, I was like, I don't know if I'll ever watch this, but it intrigued me enough that I started from the beginning, and now I can't wait until tomorrow when the next episode comes out. I believe
one of the characters, like a blonde, short-haired paladin that can't sing.
Yep.
Okay. I've seen some like memes of this.
Yeah. There's a paladin.
Non-singing Laios. Paladin. Okay. Okay.
Well, he tries to sing. He's terrible at it.
Yeah. There's a paladin. an elf wizard, a halfling rogue, and a dwarf cook.
It's the ideal adventure party.
Yeah, but it's a fun and intrigue. It's an interesting show. I think if you have kids and stuff, you could watch it with them or let them watch it, and it would be fine. There's nothing. There's like warnings for nudity and violence. The violence is not that gratuitous, and the nudity is barely there. I don't even think you see nipples. So, but the fun thing is they actually, like, every time they find something to cook, they walk through the recipe of how to prepare it. And so there's like a little bit of like, as a person who grew up watching Alton Brown and enjoying role-playing games, it's a lot of fun to be like, oh yeah, scorpions are kind of like lobsters. And so you can just boil it and then prepare it like a lobster bisque. Why not?
Sure.
Yeah. So it's a much more fun show than I am willing to like fully admit. I feel my enjoyment for this show is a lot like Norm McDonald's closeted gay man bit. Like, I'm not sure I'm ready to admit that I like the show, but like, maybe. I certainly watched 12 episodes of it.
Well, fair enough. That's your base level. That's your entry level program.
Yeah. So what about you, Nick?
Bring us after on. Just coming off of One Piece, 12 episodes of anything is fucking nothing.
I know. I watched the two latest episodes of One Piece this week, too.
Well, 12 episodes of a real show is like, what, 89 episodes of One Piece?
Something like that.
That's about right.
Time-wise. I am geeking on... spent some time at the Museum of Science and Industry today with my wife and the youngest child, just the three of us.
Very nice.
Yeah, when you said Brookfield Zoo, that hit right there. I was like, yeah, that's a fun thing to do with the young kids. So it's kind of my wife's on spring break. My kids are on spring break. The other kids are all scattered doing other things. So we stopped in there, and I had not been. And it is, if you haven't
ever, been, this is your first time.
Yeah, I've never been. I've been to the Field Museum. I've been to Shed, but never been to Science and Industry, and it is pretty badass. Highly recommended for anyone who, in general, but especially if anything related to science and the sciences and tech is in your wheelhouse, it's probably a must do bucket list thing. It's just a really, really, really awesome place, and really enjoyed being with my littlest one because everything's cool to her. But she also likes to run wind sprints in public places. So that is unnerving. Yeah. And you have to keep an eye on her and keep her kind of leashed up. But it was a good time.
There sure are a lot of straightaways in the.
Boy. And a lot of dark alcoves and like places to, you can easily lose sight of a toddler. Yep. And it was spring break. So there was 150,000 people in that building.
That sounds right.
It was stupid.
Yeah. You got to get like one of those.
Don't go there, but don't go during spring break, please.
Yeah.
Well, hell yeah.
Apple needs to make like an air tag, but it's like a baby tooth.
Perfect. Yes.
Yeah. You just, when they're old enough for it to not have baby teeth, then they don't need the baby tooth air tag anymore.
I don't hate it.
100%. 100%.
If you want to.
Yeah.
Tell us other things, I suppose. You
can other things show. You should air tag like a child.
Yeah, yeah. We probably shouldn't be suggesting that for any situation. If you like what you heard, give us 5 stars on your local friendly podcast app. If you want to tell us your answers to the 3 body problems, you can do so on any of the socials. All you have to do is check out Geekcast Live. And you can also visit the website that I made at violentpress.com.
You made that?
I did make that.
Nicely done. Good you website. Could probably also support us on Patreon. I know that's been done. Joe, how does one do that?
You go to patreon.com/geekcastlive and you sign up for a subscription. Yeah. Or you can buy a shirt and support us that way over at gcl.threadless.com.
Where at?
gcl.threadless.com.
gcl.threadless.com. Yeah. Order up a three body conundrum shirt because of copyright issues.
Send only a brand.
Have Joe's face on it.
Hey, everybody, as always, we want to take a minute at the end of this monstrosity to thank all of those amazing people that do help make this thing run. We can't do it without you. We do it for you, as a matter of fact. We've got Dwag Riflux. We've got, of course, World Star. We've got Lada Bartova, Danger Johnson, Big Time Timmy Jim, Slughaven Kapitsky, I think... the third, that's right. David Dave Jeep Duck of the Mississippi Jeep Ducks. Big Wad, Hardy Doug the Handyman, Channing Tatum, new this year, Flat Stanley, Zip Plorg, the K Man, Three Finger Emily, she's Four Finger Emily this year, which is nice to see. And anybody that I'm forgetting or left out, write in. We'll tag you later. We love you and thanks. Check this.